May I speak to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. I think the Apostle Thomas is every man's reaction to the news of Jesus' resurrection. Not being present when Jesus appeared to the other disciples, Thomas refuses to accept their word, which is a very determined position considering that he was one of them, their friend and fellow follower of Jesus. Thomas, like most everybody, finds it difficult to believe something that is such a radical departure from the normality of everyday life. Dead people appearing suddenly, moving to greet the disciples through the walls of a locked room is not normal. We all live our lives within the boundaries of expectations based on what we know and have experienced. Claims of events beyond those expectations naturally provoke questions of validity and credulity. Thomas stands resolute in his refusal to believe that Jesus has returned from the dead. Jesus, however, is using Thomas for a greater purpose than perhaps Thomas realizes. Jesus, through Thomas, is anticipating the reaction of the people who have never seen Jesus, who have never heard of Jesus, people from far away, people of the future. To those who have never known Jesus, to believe in his resurrection will be even more problematic. And Thomas's declaration that he will not accept the idea of resurrection unless he can see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I am not going to believe. Most people will initially respond with a similar attitude. Thomas is not just asking for reasons to believe. He's demanding that those reasons be based on hard evidence, physical evidence, not hearsay, not some spiritualized explanation of Jesus being in our hearts forever way. Thomas wants to touch the physical reality of Jesus' wounded body. He will only accept the resurrection if he can meet a living physical Christ who still carries the wounds of death, and he can validate this through his sense of touch. The fact that Jesus appears before Thomas to meet his demands and prove the resurrection on Thomas's terms is so important for several reasons. Jesus is saying, continuation of the remembrance of me will not rest on my teachings alone. I am more than just a good idea. My importance to the human condition is not that I make people feel good and behave better. The importance of my resurrection is that I have overcome physical death, the kind of death that you and me and every human being has to experience. Jesus is recognizing that our existence as an embodied human being is a physical existence. Yes, we have souls, and yes, we have spirits, but we live in this world in a physical state. And Jesus destroys death as we know it, not as we imagine death to be, not to become a spiritualized being in some other type of reality. Jesus is redeeming and saving creation, and creation as we know it is a physical manifestation of the glory of God. And Jesus is saying that God loves creation in all its physicality, and salvation is the salvation of our physicality and our physical world. Thomas does not allow us to make the resurrection into something more easily understood. Physical resurrection would not be easily accepted in the first century Palestine. Most ancient cultures had some notion of an afterlife. Even the Jews believed that we survive spiritually in some kind of ethereal world. But resurrected physicality would be challenged as impossible, making the rejection of the disciples' claim a near certainty. The initial reaction to the resurrection of Jesus would be rigorously criticized, probably along the lines of this new movement is full of fanatically weak-minded followers willing to say or believe anything. Common sense says that we die, our bodies return to dust, and that's it. But what are we to make of Thomas? There are other stories of Jesus' resurrection that also mean his appearance is simply not some spiritual aberration. Jesus appears on the beach at early morning, hungry and eating fish with the disciples. He asks at one point for food. Jesus appears on the road to Emmaus as a fully physical being, initially recognized by his disciples. The story of how Thomas's doubts were overcome with Jesus and appearing and granting Thomas the experience he said he was necessary for belief is important because it is the resurrection meeting us where we are. But the story doesn't end here. Jesus tells Thomas not to be faithless, just believe. And Jesus asks Thomas a probing question. Is it only your seeing me that you believe? And Jesus bestows his blessing on those who don't see but believe. What Jesus does for Thomas, he will not do for others. Appearing in the physical will not happen for others because Jesus will create belief through the Holy Spirit and the blessings and grace of God. So all who believe will have life in his name. God is in the control of the forces of life and death, and in the forces behind the resurrection. We must not reduce the mystery of our faith, and indeed the mystery and power of the resurrection, down to simply our limited human perspective. The Bible tells us plainly not to trust entirely of our own understanding. We should not so much analyze and rationalize. Rather, we should do as Jesus suggests to Thomas, just believe. Believe that death has been overcome, and that you who believe are the direct beneficiaries of this great act of divine love. In belief, death's dark and foreboding door disintegrates into light beyond. This deep mystery of beyond is not a part of what we currently know, but we can be deeply assured that it is much more than just something in our best interest. It is life itself, life with the Father, a joyous, eternal, seamless weaving of the physical and the spiritual, a freedom that is simply exhilarating, where each breath is taken, is love recognized and embraced. Now, Paul goes to great lengths in Corinthians 1 to explain the new body, which we will be given at the end. And it's not identical to the previous, to our current body. In a new act of creation, parallel only to the original creation itself, God will make a new type of material, no longer subject to death, out of the old one. We remember that in the closing chapters of Revelation, heaven and earth will finally be joined together into one. The two dimensions will be fused together at last. Jesus' body did not experience decay as ours will. Jesus' body was comfortable in both worlds. His body was the transformation of the old without decay. The type of body we will inherit in the kingdom of God will be different from our own, a body transformed by the resurrection of Jesus. But the surest way to eternity, as Jesus says, is to live our lives in belief. And true belief is most profoundly expressed in the love of one another. We must not diminish the importance of this life with a detached preoccupation with the next. Indeed, the full embracement of this world with our love and faith is the best preparation for the world to come. What we learn here and now will be a part of what is coming. If the kingdom of God is love unbridled, if the kingdom of God is the fulfillment and redemption of our humanity, including our physicality, then Jesus has made clear the place where we must start. And that is in the love of one another, now at this very moment, with those we meet, wherever we find ourselves. and whatever we are doing. When we love, we are awakening ourselves to what we do not yet know. When we love completely all that life gives us, that it is just possible that the terms like physical and spiritual and eternal become just notions of children learning. The glory of the King, God's kingdom will be beyond anything we have experienced and even imagined. But for the moment, let us love one another and give thanks to Jesus Christ for what he has done for us. And let us close with a prayer from Psalm 133. Behold, good and pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon his head, running down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, running down upon the collar of his clothing. It is like the dew of Hermon, running down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has promised his blessing, even life forevermore. Amen.
Amen.